If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And with me, as always, producer Dodds.
Hello. I'm going to cough and ruin it already. Sorry.
We've only just started. And
I'm all over the shop this morning.
I'm really awake and you're not.
No, I'm here in
this
spirit.
Is unusual.
Yeah, that's true.
It's usually the way around. So we're on episode 46.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. I want to say thank you. Massive thank you to everyone who's listened to us right from the very beginning, right to episode 46. That's a lot of dedication.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. We are going to do a slightly different format this week, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to announce that we're going to be having a little break. So we're going to get to episode 50 and then season one is going to end.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come back with season two, which is going to be bigger and better than ever. The reason that we started on this podcast journey was because I went to see my therapist, Karen, and because I identified a few bits with her that we've talked about in this series, including imposter syndrome and also how to deal with difficult people, how to navigate your love life when it isn't working anymore. So we thought the best way to round off this series is to have Karen on the podcast.
So you're going to interview the person who inspired the podcast?
Yes, yeah.
How wholesome. What a nice little ending.
I know. And she is amazing. She has changed my life. So I can't wait to share Karen with you all.
I've never met her, but I feel like... Because we've talked about her so much. Do you know what I mean?
I know. I'm excited. Like, I'm so excited for you all to meet her because she is just amazing. Last week, I had a really interesting week. Quite different to normal. So I wasn't in the office for a couple of days. And that was because I got invited to something called the Reach Women's Leadership Summit, which was at Woburn Golf Course where the Ladies Open was being held. So it was great. And it's a thing started by the TV presenter, Sarah Stark. And she wanted to help women in senior leadership roles to help elevate themselves further by bringing together a load of like-minded women. So there were 70 of us that all got together. We met at Woburn. We didn't really know what was happening. We didn't have an agenda, but it was probably one of the most inspiring couple of days that I have had. The reason for that was there was just so many powerful, interesting, inspirational women on that course. And the 2 days were filled with talks that have massively helped me, and I've come back into the business and started to implement already. So absolutely incredible. One of the things that we did do in over the 2 days was we started one of the talks by doing a 5-minute meditation session. And I have meditated before, dipped in and out of it in the past. It massively helps me with my stress levels and helps me to focus. So the women that were there were a mixture for loads of different industries, through from mergers and acquisitions, finance, sports presenters, charity like founders, all the way through to people who'd started the MOBO Awards and lady who'd started her own political party. It's just crazy, really.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe that I was there, which sounds really, that's probably my imposter again.
Mm.
But it, like, just
it was like the biggest female leaders in the country, essentially, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. All in roles, a lot of them were in roles where they were breaking barriers in terms of being a female reaching that position, which, if you think about it, there was one of the ladies there who presents football on Sky Sports and has done for a while, and there was just so many fascinating stories. And I think the thing I took out of it, there was a couple of things that I took out of it. One is that you can't be what you can't see, which is something I've said before. And I feel like it's now all of our jobs to make sure that we help young people as they come through to get to their, like, fulfill their potential. And the final thing that I really, there's a saying that was said in one of the talks that I am going to carry with me, which is lift as you rise. As we all develop and we all grow and we get further up in our careers, make sure that we lift everyone else up with us as well. It was just great. It was really good. I'm very grateful for the invite, and I hope to be invited back next year.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. I'm very excited for the Katie Leeson guided meditation coming up at the end of the podcast.
I hope that my voice is calming enough for a meditation session.
We're only a small
session.
Step away from doing like ASMR, you know, that noise stuff.
Yeah.
We'll be one small step away. Maybe that'll be season two.
Yeah, maybe that will be season two. We have got a number of admission submissions that we want to get through before we close off this season and start a new one. So we're going to do three today. Whoop. First one is from a female aged 32, and the subject reads, opening up. Katie, I feel like I'm in a period of my life where I need to see a therapist. I'm struggling, but I find it hard to admit it and open up. It's a bit easier when it's anonymous like this submission, but how do you take that first step to admitting you were struggling? Oh, how did I take that first step, sorry, into admitting that I was struggling? To be honest, I think I carried on. I think I just kind of floated on through life without really paying attention, too much attention to myself, which is probably at the detriment to me. And I got to the point where I had a couple of life moments that changed. So one was a long-term relationship that broke up, and another was around the same time I got made managing director of Social Chain. And I just felt like I didn't even do it for myself, which says something. I did it because I thought that I was letting other people down by not being my whole healthy, full of beans self. I think the fact that you have said that you are struggling and you can identify that you're struggling is a massive step, because I didn't do that. I didn't notice it until I went to see someone because I felt like I was letting other people down, which is interesting, actually. I never thought of that before. That's just hit me. Yeah, so you saying it to me is a pretty powerful thing, even though it's anonymous. You've actually said it out loud. And I think the first step then would be to find someone that you can trust, find someone that you can see. No one else has to know if you need help. You can go and see someone and no one needs to know. They won't tell anyone what you talk about. And I think you know that you're going to make your life better from doing it. So don't be scared. It is hard to start with because you have to open yourself up, and it starts bringing up things that you probably don't want to talk about and things that you've buried. But by doing that, it helps you deal with situations, both past and present and the future as well. I can't tell you how beneficial it has been for me to know myself a little bit better and be able to identify situations that haven't been right for me, both personally and professionally, and get out of those situations before they became something deeper. And the reason this podcast exists really is because I went to see Karen, the therapist. And in me talking more openly about my mental health, I've had a few people that have said that it's helped them, one of which has been my brother. So my brother and I, is my younger brother, we have had a bit of a turbulent relationship, let's say. We argue quite a lot, or we have argued quite a lot in the past, always kind of clashed. We're very different personalities, and it's not been the easiest of brother-sister relationships. And I think we've both really struggled with the fact that you only get one family and you feel like you should be closer than you are. But he actually got in touch with me after listening to the podcast to say that he had also started seeking help from a counsellor, therapist. And he did that because I'd done it and talked about it, and he'd seen a benefit. And our relationship has been so much better in the last few months because of that. So I am incredibly proud that just by talking about something like that, it's enabled not only my life to get better, but other people's lives to get better. So I encourage you to talk about it. I encourage you to find help. And even though it's really difficult, I am living proof that things improve if you go and seek that help. I'd recommend it for everybody. I think you need to know yourself before you can make good life decisions. So, yeah. Moving on to our second admission submission. And this one is, the subject reads, I need to be liked. And this is from a female age 31. How do you win a team over? I have a very negative team who constantly complain about their job. Are there any tips to rectify this? Ooh, good one. Because I think that negativity breeds negativity. And once there is like, I think it's like a barometer. I think someone said it to me once and it's absolutely stuck with me, that people are like vibrations. And if your vibrations are very negative, that then vibrates onto other people and in turn creates more negativity and it grows. So for me, negativity is one of the major causes of inefficiency in the workplace. And what we try and do here at Social Chain is breed a really positive culture. And in doing so, we try and celebrate every good thing that happens with everybody. And we try and learn from the negatives, not punish. So we try and build a culture of positivity.
Well, both, I guess.
Yeah, possibility. What's and your positivity.
Experience with like dealing with a negative team? Have you ever had to like sit someone down and just say, you're bad energy? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you can see it. You can see when someone is very negative. And usually that means that there's other stuff going on. So it's worth sitting down with people to understand where that negativity comes from, what can be done to change it. And also think about your own behaviour. So one of the things that I got out of that course, actually, on the last 2 days that I was away, was that whenever you get feedback or you give feedback, you will automatically take on the negatives in an instant. So if someone gives you feedback, whether it's a mixture of good and bad, you will ignore the good and take the bad straight away. What you need to do to start building a bit more positivity and also give positive feedback, which makes it easier than to take on negative feedback because you're more willing to learn, is give a 6-second window for positive feedback, because it takes a good 6 seconds for positive feedback to kind of filter into your system. So think about that when you are giving feedback to your team. Also, spend time with them to understand exactly what they want to be doing and where they want to be. I think, as I say, there's going to be some root cause for that negativity. And either if something has happened or if they're not entirely happy in their role, why not? Where do they want to get to and how can you get them out of it? Happy people create the best work, and that's something that I try and live by. If someone's not happy in their role, help them find what they are going to be happy in. Don't just leave them stagnant. And yeah, I think I've said it to quite a few people in here, but my main role as managing director is to protect the culture of what made us special. Keep that at the heart of everything that we do, because I have a duty to everyone that works here to maintain the culture that Steve and Dom started. And that's what makes this place such an amazing place to work. And it makes you want to come in every day. And it makes you very grateful for the job that you've got. And I think my tip for someone who's trying to win a team over is listen and make changes when you've listened. Really understand what people are going through and where that negativity comes from, and try and help to make a change. And the third and final admission submission for this week is, what advice do you have for delegating tasks? I want to make sure everything is done to a certain standard, but it's not scalable for me to do it all. Been there, done that. I think it's safe to say that everyone goes through this when you feel like you get a new person in the team or you get a new graduate and it takes so much longer to train them than to actually do it yourself. And you feel like you'd be more beneficial just to do it and get it done so you know it's done right. That is one of the biggest mistakes you can make. What you need to do is spend time and attention giving it to people to help them understand the task that they're doing and why they're doing it and then how it benefits you. If you do that and then you go through it with them when and if they make mistakes, because obviously that's how you learn lessons, it will free up so much of you, more of your time. I've said it before as well. Being a part of a team in a company is all about building that team around you who can do jobs that you're not as good at. So you might want to do everything because you want to control it all, but actually there'll be tasks that you don't enjoy as much and there'll be tasks that you're not as good at that you can then pass on to someone who will be loads better than you and more efficient, that will help you to have loads more time to do the tasks that you need to do and give you more breathing space to think about and strategize. Think about the things that you really want your team to be doing. So my main tip is understand that you are building something that's going to help you all succeed in the long term. And think about when, if you've got a grad in the team that you're struggling to get time with to train, think about you when you were that starting out. Think about you when you started in your first job, how willing you were to learn and how much you wanted to take on and give people the opportunity. And as we always say, if you make a mistake, that's how you learn. So make sure that you give clear reasons as to why the task he's doing, how that helps you with your job and how that helps the business so they can see what impact they're having. That will then free your time up to be able to train more people. So short-term pain for a really long-term gain in terms of delegation. It's not easy. It's very hard to do. But just try it. Start small, give out small tasks, and then feel the benefit, and then delegate to your heart's content. My moment, so there's been a few moments where I've realized that delegation is really important. And having imposter syndrome, or so suffering from imposter syndrome, definitely doesn't help with this. I think when I moved, as you navigate yourself up into more senior positions, this becomes even more apparent, or it did for me. So as soon as I stopped doing the day-to-day work, and I started being more strategic and implementational across the company, I felt like I wasn't being valuable to the output of the business because what I was doing was a lot more longer-term impact, and I really struggled with that because what I wasn't doing was seeing the immediate, oh, you've done a great proposal, or that pitch was great, you did a really good job. What I was doing was building foundations to keep the company going and making us better and helping us grow. And it was only after a conversation that I had with Dom, the co-founder of the business, where he actually said, your value is so much more from taking that visionary role than it is from actually doing the do, because so many people are there focusing on the here and now. Companies need people who are going to be able to foresee problems, think about structures, look at where you're spending too much money. And you can't do that if you're actually heads in doing the day to day. So it was only until I had that conversation with Dom that I really realized the power of not doing the day-to-day and growing a team that are so good that means you don't have to be as involved. Doing the podcast has massively helped me, I think, with my imposter syndrome and feeling that way, because I get to keep my finger on the pulse on what's going on in the marketing world. It's so easy once you get to a management position to get so consumed by the four walls of the office and what's going on in there. But I love to learn and I love to know what's going on, and I want to be valuable when I go to client meetings. So for me, having the podcast and being able to keep up to date with what's going on in the social media and marketing world has massively beneficial for me and my imposter syndrome. But my big thing is know that you are adding value and look at the difference that you can make, even though it is long term. Look at the differences you make in the company and how it's being run. And that is, it's a difficult lesson to learn, but it's well worthwhile once you realise. That's the end of the admission submission section. As I say, we did three this week rather than two. If you want to leave your own admission submission, I would absolutely love to hear from you. Even though we're trying to get them through, they're going to continue because we love to do them. Please go to my website, www.katieleeson.com, and you can leave your admission submission there. Fully anonymous. You don't even have to say who you are or your age or your gender. You can leave it blank. But it helps us a little bit with a little bit of context. Go on there, leave your admission submission, and we will read it out on the future podcasts. And as I say, they're carrying on into season two because we just love to do them. I love to hear about challenges you're facing and see how we can possibly help. So keep them coming. Now it is time for our main topic of the week. And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I want to talk to you about how to capture the modern student audience effectively. So next month, there'll be a whole new raft of students entering university life. And this year is the first year that the students will be fully, truly digital natives. Born in the year 2000-2001, they will have grown up with their entire lives with social media in the background. What does that mean for brands? It means that you have to understand how to speak to people and understand their behaviours in order to engage them. At Social Chain, we know how to speak to students better than anybody else. Why is that? It's because we have the biggest online student community in the world. We have over 9 million student followers across our Student Problems platform, and we talk to them about everything across their student life. And what we do is we connect brands with those students in the right places, in the right time, with the most engaging content. How do we do that? Well, last year for Freshers' Fair, we did a 12 days of Freshers. We took brands on that journey with exclusive access to the content we created that talked all about how to navigate the first few days of your student life. Those pieces of content managed to reach 48 million students in the time that it was live. No other brand at a Freshers' Fair giving out lollipops will get that sort of exposure. This is something that we know how to do and how to engage with this student community. I wouldn't be staying true to what I say on this podcast if I stopped at Freshers' Week. Freshers' Week in isolation is just one moment in time. There are many, many moments across the student calendar where you should be thinking about putting out student marketing. These include everything from Pancake Day all the way through to Easter, exam time, post-exams, graduation balls. There's so much extra content that you can get on the back of, which we can give you exclusive access to. The way that this works best is by fitting seamlessly into a student's life and identifying moments that they may need help and associating your brand to that. Not just putting your brand right in their face, but living with them and helping solve problems as they navigate this whole new world of living on their own. A couple of great examples that we've seen is the Co-op. They did a great video platform of helping students how to use basic cooking skills so that they could cook themselves other meals than just beans. Another thing is understanding a student life, knowing that 6 weeks into the first semester, students are going to need a haircut. So by building out a pop-up barbers in the middle of the student world, giving them haircuts within that 6 week period is absolutely genius. It enables your brand to feel like you're part and you understand a student. understanding students and student behaviour like we do, we know the best moments to talk to students throughout the year. So knowing that in the third semester, when they're all going to be revising, holed up in the library, doing work, there's going to be moments when they take a little break. What they're going to do in those break moments, they're going to go on their phone and they're going to look at student problems content. Activations on campus aren't going to work in that third semester, but they will work if you align your brand with engaging, entertaining content that gives them a bit of a break from the stressful revision period. What you have to do, like any other marketing channel, is really understand the student mindset at every point in the year and tailor your content towards that mindset. Whether you want to be part of the moments that they are getting away from it all, whether you want to be a support system, whether you want to be an advisory board, there's loads of different ways you can get involved in a student life, but you really have to understand students better than anyone else and how that fits with your brand and your brand values. Having an audience as engaged as Student Problems allows us to run regular surveys in which these students are filling out information and allowing us access to understand themselves and their world and what they're after from brands so much better. We build an understanding of what a student is looking for, what motivates them, what they like from brands, what they don't like from brands. And using that data informs the content that we then produce, which creates further engagement and also helps us with the brand alignments that we choose to put on Student Problems. So the final part of this podcast is going to be a little bit different. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to guide you through a bit of meditation at the end. And the reason for that is because when I was on this 2-day course, one of the ladies stood up and started by telling us about how many messages we are exposed to in a day, how much we are bombarded by media and advertising and notifications, and the fact that we are meant to see about 4,000 advertising messages a day. And when you think about your phone and how many notifications you get, how much we are exposed to on a day-to-day basis, our minds are so very busy. So she stood up and she started her presentation by doing a guided meditation course. And I found it really wonderful. And it's led me to do a bit of research into how meditation can help with creative thinking. So I'm going to run you through that now. Creativity, especially in our world and at Social Chain, we are known for being incredibly creative. We're known for our output being creative and pushing boundaries and being at the forefront of what's possible. And we challenge our teams to be creative every day. In doing that and putting that pressure on people to be creative all the time means that sometimes there is a creative block. How do you navigate that creative block? I'm going to give you some tips and a bit of science about our brains as to why meditation might be the key to unlocking that creative block. So first things first, I'm going to give you a little bit of a talk about the brain. So our brain is split into three parts, and the part that is responsible for our creative thinking is what is called the neocortex. And the neocortex, it houses all that creativity. So it helps us with our ideation, it helps us with our visionary, and it helps us with our problem solving. This part is quite selective about what it works on. So in order to get an idea through to the neocortex for processing, we need to make sure that the other two parts of our brain are functioning properly to allow that to happen. So I'm going to talk to you about the other two parts of our brain now. The level below the neocortex is what is called the limbic system, and this is the part that's responsible for our emotions and our memories. If this part is activated and we are feeling emotionally out of balance, the limbic system is then triggered to deal with it. So if we're stressed, it will go into overdrive and our brains become incredibly busy. This then stops the neocortex working, which means that stress is stopping our creative thinking. The oldest part of our brain is the reptilian part. And the main purpose of this is survival, and it's triggered by adrenaline. It's fight or flight. Being the oldest part, it was used to help protect us from wild animals. But now in the modern world, it can be triggered by much smaller things. And if you think that this part is triggered by adrenaline, using that trying to protect us will prevent any ideas going up to the neocortex. So you can see that there's lots of blockers that are stopping getting to that creative brain. Creative thinking is all about having our neurochemistry aligned, and meditation can play a massive part in helping with that. The side effects of meditation have been proven to reduce the activity of the reptilian brain, to stimulate the neocortex, and also improve your emotional intelligence. All these things together enable creative ideas to get to that neocortex without any blockers. So meditation is wonderful for getting your creative juices flowing. Companies that have adopted it, the first company to really adopt it was the Walt Disney Group, and they use meditation to help creative ideation. And if you think about their work, you can see why that was so beneficial. At Social Chain, we have also launched a little area within the office where you could sit and do meditation on an iPad. But today, what I'm going to go through with you is a 10-minute guided meditation. So if you are driving, please pause the podcast now. If you're doing something that you really need to focus on, now is not the time to listen to this part of the podcast, but please pause it and come back to it for when you are ready. And I'm hoping that we get lots of feedback from you about how it has helped your creative thinking and helped you solve a problem that you've been trying to navigate. Now we're going to go into a bit of guided meditation. Adam, who is our editor, who we don't actually introduce, and we should while we introduce you, Dodds. Adam, if you could put some nice calming music behind my talking for the next few minutes, that would be great. Thank you. Okay, so we've switched the camera off. We've turned the lights down. We're going to begin the meditation. So sit comfortably with your feet on the floor and your heels pressing into the ground. Begin by closing your eyes. Make no effort to control the breath. Simply breathe naturally. Breathe in to the count of four. Hold for the count of three. And breathe out to the count of five. So breathe in. Hold and exhale. Continue to breathe at this slow pace. While you are breathing slowly, I'll direct your breathing awareness to different stages of the breath. Focus all of your attention on each stage that I mention. First, notice the breath as it enters your nose. Notice each time you breathe in, the way the breath feels on your nostrils. Feel the breath as it passes through your nasal passages and down behind your throat. Where does the air go next? Feel each time you inhale, the breath passing down your windpipe. Feel the breath going down. Notice where the air enters your lungs. Allow your breathing awareness to deepen the feeling of relaxation. Feel the air expand your lungs with each breath. Feel your lungs expand and relax. Notice the exhalation phase of breathing. Observe as the air leaves your lungs and begins to travel upwards. Focus your attention on that moment of each breath. Now turn your attention to the breath traveling up and out through your mouth. Feel the breath in your throat, your mouth, and across your lips. Notice each breath as a whole now. See how the breath flows like waves. In, then a pause, and out. Notice the pauses and rest between breath. Now, as you relax, you can count your breath as they continue to flow gently. Count 10 breaths. When you're finished counting, notice how calm and relaxed you are. See how regular your breathing has become and how calm your breathing is. Now, when you're ready to return to your day, you can reawaken your body and return to the present. I'll count to 5. With each number, you can become more and more alert, reaching full alertness when I reach 5. 1. 2, 3, 4, 5. I hope you found that helpful. How do you feel, Dodds?
I feel chill AF. I feel relaxed.
Good. Well, I hope
that was like really almost intimate. That was like really personal. Like I really felt like it was just me and you.
It was just me and you. Well, I hope that helps, and I hope that helps open up your neocortexes and allows you to be a lot more creative as you go through your day. I would love to hear some feedback about whether you want this as a regular thing, because we could look at starting off with basic meditation techniques and then bringing it up into like a bit of a course. So if you feel like that would be beneficial and you'd like us to swap out, say, the news every other week for a meditation session, then please let us know, because we are constantly trying to make this the most beneficial podcast for you guys out there. And this is something that Dodds and I are incredibly interested in, and we're interested in the benefits that it can bring. So just let us know and we can adapt as we move into series 2. I just want to thank you. I feel really calm now. I just want to thank you so much for listening to this week's podcast, and we will see you next week.